But this week on Talk On To Walk On, under our Midlife Muddle series, we are talking about friendships in midlife. As you know, we like to bring to you our conversations about issues that affect us all in midlife, and friendships is actually one of them. This, I just thought, was a bit of a sensitive topic, but an important topic, because it's just something that I truly think affects us all, because in midlife, life shifts and we change friendships. Because there's divorce going on, there's potential people passing away, sadly, and our kids leave home, the friendships that we had at the school gates, you know, all change. Even our careers can change too. They can either come to an end or we can transition into other areas. And with that comes friendship loss as well as friendship gain. So we just thought that that's something that you might be interested in, and we want to share with you how our thoughts and how it's affected us.
So I want to ask you a question first, Michelle. So I think of you as a very sociable and a friendly person. But I also know that you're very selective in choosing your friends. And I was just wondering why that might be, and how long, well, whether you agree with that, and how long that might have been in your life, and is that something that you've always been conscious of? Because you are selective. I'm selective as well, but you are too.
I'd like to think most people are selective about friendships, especially close friends. But for me, as everyone knows, I've got my best friend, and I'm very, very blessed with that. So this isn't a debate about lifelong friendships, because if you have a lifelong friend or a few lifelong friends, then treasure them. But for me, this topic is more about friendships that come in and out of your life. And I think I always thought I was really clever about my friendships, and I was selective. But I actually also think I've been quite naive, because for many, many years, until very recently, I always truly believed that what you gave out came back to you from that particular person. What I now believe, having had all my counselling and done all my research and whatever, is that I still believe you get back what you give out, but I think it comes back to you in a different way. And I think I wish I'd known that when it came to friendships. Does that make sense?
It does.
Because I think it sort of gave me a lot of wobbles when it came to friendships, because I historically, and again, I'm not playing the martyr role here, but I've historically, because I have been very selective about my friends, I've given them an awful lot of energy. And we've often talked on this podcast about my learnings about becoming a little bit more selfish when it comes to, you know, protecting ourselves and protecting our energy and not giving too much out. I certainly think that I've been somebody who's perhaps given too much in the past, and it's come back to bite me on the backside. And that's not to blame them. That's blaming me. Definitely.
But I do like the idea of that energy coming back in a different way, because that different way can be a learning, can't it? You're going to get something out of understanding about relationships. So if that energy comes back, not in a good way. So if you have a friend and you start falling out with a friend, or the relationship starts going a little bit sour, for what you're saying is that you still get something back.
Yes.
Even if it's a learning to take forward and so on. And you learn probably as much about you as the friend.
And that's the key. That's the thing. The lesson that I wish I'd learned much sooner. And you may have heard this quote. Well, I always get quotes wrong, but it's you have friendships for seasons, reasons, and lifetime. And I think parking the lifetime friendships, if you look at the season and reason friendships, you know, the seasons are, for example, mums and dads at school gates, parents, you know, friends of your children, parents of your children's friends, and career friends, for example, and then relationship friends. But they do naturally come to an end. Not all friendships come to an end, but so many do. And I think it's just something we just don't talk about. It's something that I've really torn myself up in knots over, when things have come to what was actually, when I look back, a natural end because of this season and reason, you know. And if you actually write down a friendship that has ended, I mean, I've never had a friendship that, maybe one or two, but I'd like to think I've never had a friendship that's ended in a really dramatic way. Mm. But I definitely have friendships that have drifted, and I've beat myself up a little bit as to how they ended. But now I look and I go, actually, I learned a lot from that friendship. Mm. I grew from that friendship. I learned about myself in that friendship. So, but I think in midlife, it's an opportunity. And I've used the term friend cleanse, mm. which I heard and absolutely loved, because it validated that feeling of it's okay that friendships come to an end, especially and most naturally in midlife, yeah. when your life is shifting in different directions.
That's interesting. If you have a friend or a friendship that then, due to seasons or reasons, lapses,
yeah.
And a few years later, you bump into them on the street, yeah. or somehow. They're still friends, though, aren't they? They were a friend. You had a period of your life when you were friends,
yeah.
and for good reasons, you drifted apart, but they were still sort of friends of yours.
Yeah, I mean, I'd never ignore anyone. Yeah. I'd like to think I wouldn't. Yeah. I think we've all had them where you go, oh, God, what am I going to say? But I think that's, for me, that's very, yeah. very, very rare.
Yeah.
Because I'm actually... I do let go of stuff, yeah. after a while. I mean, I probably, once I've let somebody go out of my life, it's very rare that I'm going to let them back in, yeah. I'll be honest, if there's been a reason for that. But what's been lovely is, because this friend cleanse thing that I didn't know I was going through at the time, that I was beating myself up about, and actually I felt like I was grieving sometimes, mm. as well. But actually, because I've learned to live with that and learned to accept it, it's actually made space for other friends to, mm. come back into my life that have been lifetime friends, but they lapse a little bit, don't, mm. they, mm. because of life.
Mm.
So it's been interesting that who's come back into my life when I've let some people go.
Mm. So you're talking about friend cleansing. How does that actually work in practice?
It sounds really harsh, doesn't it? But it wasn't like, oh, I'm going to do a friend cleanse. It's just, you just got to tune in to think how you feel when you're around people. And I think in midlife, our time becomes, which we've talked about in previous podcasts, our time becomes so much more valuable. And our energy is so, you know, retaining our energy is really important. And I think what happened to me was, I think I just started to tune. Will you help me with this by pointing a few things out? But I just started to tune into how people, you know, that I was meeting or I was friends with, or even acquaintances with, were making me feel. So this isn't on them. This is always on you. This is about you as a person. It's not about them. Because if you make it about them, it becomes a blame game. Whereas if you make it about yourself and valuing your own time and your worth and your energy, then you've got to switch things up and see how you feel when you're around people. And some people have heard the metaphor about radiators and whether people are draining your energy or heating you up, mm. and energizing, mm. you. And I think for me, sometimes I felt like around certain people, like, I felt like I couldn't vocalize my opinions, or I'd come away and I'd feel exhausted. Mm. I'd have, you know, you can have maybe a sleepless night worrying about their worries, mm. and that kind of thing. And yet that can be, friendships can go through a phase like that, but I think it's how long that lasts, mm. and whether you feel like, I mean, sometimes it can be just down to a lack of communication, mm. and it's how much you value that friendship, I suppose. Mm. But for me, it is just about tuning into how you feel when you're with them, whether this is something you want to always feel like, whether they uplift you, whether you feel drained, and whether it's something that you want to see in your future and how you want to feel in your, mm. future. But it's definitely not about them. It's about you, mm. and your values and what you want. Again, always, all those things we talk about in these episodes is putting yourself first for once and how you want to feel in this next chapter of your life.
Mm. It's a bit of an unfortunate phrase. So it probably comes, yeah. from social media, doesn't,
yeah.
it? Where you have your list,
I don't know,
of
where
friends.
I heard it.
And you can sort of delete them or remove,
true.
Them.
True, yeah. I think it's like that, the scrolling thing, unfollow, which, again, I talk, mm. especially to young people about, and my coaching clients, is that if just how does it make you feel when you read something? Mm. I mean, I think that's easier to do because it's at a distance, mm. even though some people even still struggle to do that. But yes, and come back to this season, reason, lifetime,
mm.
I think really helps. Mm. And just look at what you've had from the friendship and is it coming to a natural end? Mm. Because friendships come to natural ends and it's okay. It's normal.
Yeah.
So we just don't talk about it enough.
So picking up on that and moving on a bit. So before you were talking, before you explained to me about the friends cleanse bit and you were talking about seasons and reasons, it reminded me of friends that you make when you're working in different areas. And as we've explained to listeners and watchers in the past, is that I've spent most of my career working for companies and then so working for a specific employer and then moving on to different employer. And each time you move on, you end up working with different people. And again, I struggled with the fact that I made what I thought were friends working in certain periods of my working life. But once I'd moved on, I stopped hearing from them. Mm. Okay, it's on me as well because yeah. I didn't make enough effort to reach out and stay. But I worked very closely with them and got to know them really, really well yeah. in a period of time. Yeah. And then seemingly, okay, with the social media, I can stay in contact with them yeah. and you do sort of vaguely.
Yeah.
But your life has moved on. With hindsight, they weren't ever really good embedded friends, were they? Because if they were, you would have stayed in touch with them.
No, but they were there for a reason.
Yes.
I think most people you can categorize. It sounds, again, quite harsh. Mm. But when you reflect on it, you think, well, they were there for a reason. They probably helped you grow in mm. your career or you helped them grow in their career. There might be just a nugget of advice that you've given them mm. that they still use and vice versa. Mm. So it really is just about letting go of that attachment.
Mm.
To the friendship. People said, oh, he's my friend. And well, I know I am guilty of it. I'm so loyal and this and that and did it. And then if he doesn't come back or they do something, you go, oh, you get really hurt yeah. by it. I think so many people have moved on from jobs or situations, careers, holidays, or, you know, you meet people, you think they're going to be your friends for life. And suddenly you go, hang on a minute. I met them in July or I last saw them in July and it's now Christmas. Do I send them a Christmas card?
Yeah, yeah.
Christmas is a good time to actually just reconnect. Yeah. I don't know. It's a tricky one. It's just about letting go, isn't it?
I mean, in the past, when you let go, you would probably let go forever because other than writing a letter or phoning, you wouldn't. But now it's so much easier to stay.
Yeah.
More or less in touch with them. So, and some of my work colleagues, I'm talking about, you know, going back years and years and years, if and when, and I do drop them a note out now, and every now and then I see a reference to them or there's a reason why I drop, they're always very, very friendly. And, you know, they'll meet, oh, great to hear from you again. Yeah. And so on. And which is
but
good.
That's a compliment to you because I know that you've been a brilliant colleague, boss, acquaintance, because you're a good person. Mm, mm. And I think most people, even we're all guilty of losing touch with people, but if you've had even the smallest impact on somebody, you'd like to think that if you bumped into them, even if it's come to an end, mm. that there's going to be still friendliness
yes.
and a chat
mm.
without the expectance of, oh, should we meet for coffee?
Yeah.
And then you run off. Yeah. We're all guilty of it, aren't we? Yeah. But I do think just continuing to categorize, if you're struggling with it, really, this season, reason, lifetime, it is really helpful.
And again, going back to something I said earlier, when I described you as sociable and friendly, in your career, I mean, aside from when you were a lawyer working for a firm, when you were self-employed and a prolific networker, you were meeting tons and tons of people.
Yeah.
I remember when I first met you, I was so impressed by the number of like contacts you had in LinkedIn and the number of whatever in social media. All these people you knew. Because you were sociable and friendly in a formal business networking environment, was that difficult in terms of a lot of people would be friendly and social back to you, but some of them became your friends, but some of them clearly not. And that's something, again, I would struggle with. And did you struggle with that?
Yeah.
Could you decide?
I did want to step back from it. But at the time, it I mean, I look back and I go, I don't know how the hell I did it. Because having a lot of friends is hard work. And especially if they're business friends. So I would like to think I was always very genuine. And I would separate out the business from the friendship, but the friendship naturally impacted on the business because people buy from people. So it does become inextricably linked in that scenario. And you do have to be very careful how you separate. I think some people don't. I know a lot of people that it's just business and friends and it's like this. I think there's an element of unhealthiness to that. I do try now very much so to compartmentalize. And some people struggle. I've noticed they, and we've talked about this, about whether you're useful to them.
Yes.
Is it you suddenly go, oh, that's why you wanted to be my friend. It wasn't about being a friend. It was about being useful. So, yeah, it can get a bit messy, I think. But at the same time, it's good to have a friendship element to a business relationship because it makes business work and in a much easier and nicer way. It's just when it becomes a little bit too intertwined, it can get a bit tricky.
And transactional.
And it's if somebody you suddenly realize actually they're being friendly because of the transaction rather than just being friendly on a values likability basis.
So it's like a light bulb moment. Oh, that's why you contacted me. It's taken two or three conversations to get to the point, but I now understand why you weren't contacting me to be friendly. You're contacting me because you needed something.
We do see that. I mean, you've seen that, especially since, again, we talk about loss of title. Suddenly, when you're not a CEO or not a fine FD or not a chief operating officer or with a particular connected to a particular business, it's a known thing, again, in midlife, and people struggle with this. If you don't have a title, you tend to lose your identity. And that's just completely wrong, isn't it, when it comes to friendships?
Oh, because you're the same person, aren't you? You're the same person with the same knowledge, the same experiences.
What you do lack, though, is that decision-making ability.
You're not in a position of power.
Yeah. So that's interesting. And that's been interesting, especially for us, I think. Since we've backed off from the bigger business world and just become more of our, you know, we've created a smaller business with special connections and contacts.
But I've learned to understand that and accept it, because why should I expect anybody from a previous in a company that I used to work with, suddenly I leave and they want to be my friends and stay in touch for friendship purposes? That's just unrealistic. That's just no reason. And that they're still employed by that company. They've got a job to do.
I mean, it would be a bit knackering, wouldn't it, to keep in touch with everybody you've ever worked with?
Of course, sure. I'm not somebody, I don't think, that who's ever moved on and been really upset and thought, well, I thought that they were my friend, and yet they've ghosted me or whatever. Fortunately, that hasn't happened to me. But I also know that I would take some of the blame as well. When you just drift apart, you know, it takes two people to stay in touch, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's the key. You've got to look at, and again, you've just got to keep looking back at yourself and not play the blame game. You've got to think, did I really want to keep in touch with them, really? Or is my ego just being burnt a bit because I haven't heard from them for a while and I really helped them out? But you just got to go, well, I helped them. And that's the reason why we were friends at the time. Yeah, I mean, it is really interesting. But I do think it can affect you if you let it, if you let your ego be hurt by that friendship business acquaintance mix. So I think you've got to have an element of detachment when things naturally come to an end and people's careers move on and change. Again, coming back to the business world, there's a lot of, and I think it's okay to use the word superficial, because there's a lot of superficiality that goes on. And I think when you come home and walk away from that, there might be a couple in there that are actually your friends. But you must, I would hope and advise that you just need to look in, you know, closer to home to who your real friends are. That would be my top tip. I used to often say to people, but they're not your friends. Or I suppose, okay, putting my coaching hat on, I'll reframe that. Are they really your friends? Mm. Pause, think about it. Mm. But does it matter? Does it matter as long as you've got those lifetime friends, I think, around you, which I know we both have, you yes. have.
Yeah.
And again, coming on to lifetime friends, they don't have to be, you don't have to be in touch with them all the time, mm. do you? You're a classic example of that.
No,
they don't. They don't no. live in Liverpool.
No,
for a start.
That's some of my. I mean, I've got three very, very good lifelong friends, and some of them, I've had periods of my life where I haven't been in touch with them literally for 2 years or 3 years or 4 years, and then for whatever reason we then reconnect, and it's just like old times. It's as if the passage of time was immaterial.
Yeah.
And it's great. And that's the way, you've had, and the other amazing thing is you've had so many shared experiences with those childhood friends, but over such a small period of time, as a child, you might've only known them for 10 years or 15 years, but those shared experiences at yeah. that stage of your life are just so, so important. You then go off and to different parts of the world or different yeah. parts of the country. But it's that.
I actually think that's interesting, isn't it? It's about the memories that you make with people. Maybe that's another test. But having lifetime friends is a blessing, without a doubt. And when you do your friend cleanse of the others, of the superficial ones, or the seasons and the reasons, it makes more room for the lifetime friends, especially in midlife when your time is much more valuable and you value, the energy that you're giving out. Mm. I just think the more space you have for close family, close friends, as we say, those emergency contacts, those people who you know that would drop everything if you needed them, deserve more of your time in midlife and in the second half of your life. And I know your friends have recognised that. My friends, some of my uni friends have come back in touch with me. We've had people, your friends come to stay with us now. They've made a conscious decision to come and see us. Mm. And we haven't seen them for a few years, even though, again, you could pick up the phone and they'd be there like a shot. Mm. So it is, it's very interesting.
And you getting to know some of my friends even better and vice versa.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Really lovely.
So we talked about childhood friends and you talk about friends cleansing. The thing about midlife, though, is that it's really important that we keep our friends and grow our friendship circles through midlife in amongst the friends ebbing and flowing. Because little plug for my midlife to 100 journey, let's say, one of my pillars, and it's the most important pillar for a long and healthy life, is community, family, and friendship groups. And midlife, and then moving into the last stages, old age, it's really important that you keep your friends. You got to work at that, don't you? You got to make an effort. You can't just allow your friends to drift away. I mean, we're not at that stage at the moment, but I'm conscious of that. Making new friends, keeping friends. And of course, by definition, that they won't have been lifelong friends. They're going to be friends that you've met in midlife or the last stages of midlife.
Yeah, I think there's two elements to that. I think making the effort to reconnect with people who are important to you, even if you haven't seen them for a while, make space for them, make time for them, reconnect. In terms of making new friends, I'm laughing about that because I go, oh God, I've got enough. But actually be open to that. And if you make space, then with the friend cleanse and just backing off and, actually giving yourself some space to let more people into your life that are more matching your values, your new values, the way you are, the way you've evolved and grown and maybe changed in midlife for whatever reason, your children leaving, as we've said, divorce, friendship changes, career changes. I think if you make space then and you put your energy into yourself, then you will naturally attract more people that suit you and can grow old with you, for want of a better phrase. Be open to it.
Yeah.
I think I've been a little bit cautious having gone through that whole process of, do I need any more? Oh, this is lovely. I've made some space. I've definitely gone through the first phase of making space for my old friends. Mm. And I've loved that process. Mm. And that was a nice realization. I think for me, the second phase, I do need to be much more open to attracting more people into my life that match my values and where I am now, our purpose and all with the podcast and talking to Walk On and those key messages. We're definitely open to collaborating and making new friends on that level.
And I think shared values is really, really important and shared interests. But I would guess that as you get older and we all get a little bit more stuck in our ways, we've got to allow room in our life for friends who will have different views on things.
Oh, yeah.
Who might be slightly opinionated. And friends that you know, don't have to be your best friends. You know, it's getting to know people.
I think by now we've got our best friends, I'd like to think.
Yes.
I'd like to think. Mm. Although you just don't know what life, there's chicken at the bank, aren't it? And you suddenly, you know, out of bad experiences always come, I would like to say nearly always come something good, and friendships can grow out of that, can't it? So don't be closed off to making new best friends, maybe. Yeah. That's an interesting one.
Well, when my father retired, so he retired in his early 60s, moved back from Kenya back to England, and he lived for another 30 years.
Yeah.
And a lot of his friends in the last 30 years, the last third of his life, were friends that he had met when he was 60, 61, and they became close, very close friends. And they were there with him for another third of his life.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. We do need to remember still got a long time to
let's
go.
Let's rewind this.
I'm just like, I've got my best friends, I don't need any more.
But in amongst that, the same goes, though, as we were saying, they've got to share your values.
Yeah.
They've got to be supportive. So the attributes are the same, aren't they? The attributes of those friends, whether you're meeting them later on in life, is the same.
Yes. How do they make you feel when you're around them? How you know, can you vocalize? Okay, you might not agree. Really important not to agree, but actually fundamentally you do need to agree on certain, you know, again, those life values I think are really important. But it's nice to have debate and respect each other's opinion. Mm. But as long as that doesn't make you feel you know, bring up negative connotations, bring up like, oh, I'm not having my voice heard. Actually, they've shut me down. Actually, I'm exhausted when I've been with them. I'm mentally drained. They're all they're the red flags for me when it comes to making new friends. Mm. I think you've got to be really ruthless at our age, much more ruthless than when you're young and you worry about having lots of friends. Yeah.
In terms of tips, not necessarily tips for ourselves in a way, things that we can do as well as people listening to this that can do. One of the things that I can think of that I'm going to take away is getting in touch with somebody who is, let's say, a lapsed friend who I haven't been in touch with for whatever reason for a year or 2 years or 3 years.
He's coming to get you.
I'm going to...
Swerve! Patrick Walters is on
the... Oh, thanks. I won't bother then.
I think we've all got friends like that, haven't we? You really should just go, it really doesn't matter how long it's been. It really doesn't matter. It shouldn't matter. And if it matters to them, but then they're not your friends, are they?
Yeah, and I'm thinking about people who don't necessarily...
They don't get back to you, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Well, don't be offended.
Well, if they don't even read.
Let them theory.
If you see the two blue ticks on WhatsApp and you never get a reply. No, but I'm talking about friends who don't necessarily live anywhere close to, so they wouldn't live in Liverpool and so on that you've lost. No, because
think you've got people close by that you haven't been in touch with.
Yeah, but that's no excuse at all, is it? I'm not talking about, you know, somebody who you might have.
Yeah.
But there is room, because the second point, so the one tip is get in touch with somebody you haven't seen or been in touch with for years and years and years.
Yeah, if you want to.
And secondly, is actually contact somebody. Again, more like to say, why don't we meet up for a coffee, or let's meet up and go out for a drink that maybe you haven't seen for a while.
And it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to become besties again. No. It's just nice to reacquaint yourself, isn't it?
Be sociable.
Yeah, and don't. It's getting over this. It's been too long, because it's never too long, I don't think.
And so, you know, sometimes I actually quite like, I mean, about a month or two ago, I went down to London to meet up with some friends who I used to work with a long time ago, about 15 years ago, the majority of which I hadn't spoken to or been in touch with. They were all people I liked, and it was great seeing them again. We went to a pub, and we just spent the time mainly talking about the old days and what it was like, and what's so-and-so doing, and have you heard from so-and-so? And that was the couple of hours, but that was fine. That was enough. That was great, sort of catching up. So even if you don't see people for a long, long time, and all you spend your time doing is just catching up.
Yeah. Do you think men are better at that, though? Do you think women are a little bit more sensitive? I don't know whether, I hope I'm not, you know, categorizing women versus men here in a negative way, but I do wonder whether we're a little bit more sensitive and men are a bit, when it comes to friendships, again, a whole massive topic in terms of attachment and that nurturing element that we naturally have to give and support and help. Whereas men, it's more about the banter and having a laugh and then walking away. And then having your close mates when you need them, you know. I think it's easier. Okay, let's talk about me and you. I think you're much better than me, but I'm learning from you to compartmentalize people in terms of where they fit into your life and when the time is right to connect and walk away and that kind of thing. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's just something I just thought then when you said it's fine, I'm not bothered if I don't see them again for another 2 years. But then you've got somebody there who's organizing that, so you're relying on him to do it again. If he doesn't do it again, you won't see them again, will you?
Well, I think he tried to organize it last year. I didn't go to last year, but he tried to organize it last year, and he missed a whole year just because the venue on that particular date,
but it didn't matter.
He said, well, let's meet up next year.
And then you had me laughing because you did say a couple have lost their hair and a couple are a bit more grey. But actually, fundamentally, they haven't changed.
No. The majority of them haven't. In fact, one guy, 15 years later, he actually looked younger than I remember 15 years ago.
You can do that these days.
I did call him Benjamin Button.
Well, he probably has a bit of work done, hasn't he? Let's face it. No. Are you sure?
Yes.
I bet.
No. He's not the sort of person who'd have work done.
So, okay, reconnect. Think of somebody, reconnect if you want to. Don't be too attached to the outcome. Go, enjoy, catch up, and just take it for what it is.
Yeah, because it's okay to have friends that you don't see very often. Yes. It's okay to have friends that you haven't seen for a long time, that have different interests and so on. They can still be friends, you can still be friendly, and so on.
Okay, next. Have I got to come up with the next one?
Yes.
Well, I think I've probably already said it, is that whole tune into how people make you feel. Mm. That's my big thing. Put yourself first. Think, do you know what? Is this good energy for me? That's enough for me. And I think you truly, truly know. And it's okay to pause and maybe not stay in touch and just see what happens. Mm. If they make an effort, if they pick up on it and ask how you're feeling, then tell them. Mm. Don't be afraid. If they don't make an effort, then that's the answer, isn't it?
Yeah, run a mile.
Well, I don't even think you need to run a mile. You just need to just go, it's come to its natural end, and that's life. Mm. It doesn't have to be dramatic.
Yeah.
It's okay to just go, this is good because it gives me space for another friend over here or another family member or for myself, because having lots of friends is hard work. I think that's a huge thing in terms of relationships full stop, actually. And I think we are going to talk in the next episode. We're coming up to our anniversary. So are we going to talk about this too? Are we going to talk about communication?
Relationships. Yes, we will.
Just remember that in midlife, preserve your energy. Your energy becomes much more valuable, and just be really conscious of where you're placing it. Put yourself first.
And stay friendly and keep your friends as well. Keep some
friends. If you want to.
Yeah, if you want to.
If you've enjoyed listening to our Talk On To Walk On podcast and you want to know more about our coaching, mentoring and talks offer, then go to our website, talkontowalkon.com. If you're listening to the audio version of our podcast, don't forget you can also watch full episodes and view highlights on our YouTube channel. Obviously, if you'd like to sponsor our podcast, we would also love to hear from you. So let's connect, have a conversation, and you never know where it will lead.